Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
Have you guys heard my news? I have a new sex gig. I'm not a porn star. It's better. I just launched my new premium skincare brand called Emily and Tony. These products are tried and true to help spice up your sex life, which is what I'm all about. I'm talking about massage oil candles that are one part candle, one part body oil, and check out these flavors. They come in delicious scents like creme de vanilla, cocoa, and fougere. And they're hydrating, and they leave your skin feeling super luxurious. We even have a product for the guys called Down Under Comfort that helps keep their balls smelling fresh and clean and dry all day, which is exactly what you want, right? So guys, if you take care of your balls, your partner will take care of you. So help us keep this podcast free. Use code EMILY to get 20% off your first purchase at emilyandtony.com. Trust me, you'll love them, and you're welcome.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
Listening to Sex with Emily. Thank you so much for joining us. It's almost 11 o'clock here on Sunday night in San Francisco, and we are live. And you can check us out at sexwithemily.com if you're just joining us. You can also check me out on Facebook, which is Emily Hope Morse, Facebook/Emily Hope Morse, or on Twitter, which is also Emily Morse. How about that? M-O-R-S-E. And my guest in the studio is Alex Wellen. Hi, Alex. He's the author of Lovesick, a novel. This is your first novel, then, because Barman was...
Yeah, it was memoir-esque.
Memoir.
Yeah.
I never know you, all you writers. I'm like, is it a book? Is it a novel? Is it a memoir? What's the diff?
I know. Well, and I was going to write this originally as nonfiction. That was the plan. And the publisher didn't want to do it as nonfiction. But they liked this theme about men, about this window, about getting married. But I was able to kind of up the stakes and conflict and kind of complicate things more with fiction. So that worked
out. That's great. Sure. Yep. I'm sure you like to do that. Like, challenge yourself. Alex is a pretty, you're like me. Like, we think a lot, and I can tell that we're getting into it, and we challenge ourselves to do things and keep raising the bar.
Yeah, since I met you, you've been working on so many, like, cool projects. I'm glad this is one of the big ones, though.
This is a fun one. I love Sex with Emily. It's fun. And I love talking to you about your book, because you did all this research. You talked to a lot. We're talking about men and marriage. And just marriage in general. What are the challenges? I want to get into sex and marriage, because it's Sex with Emily. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Don't run away. And I want to know, so what would you say, after talking to all these men, were the common, like, a common theme that you kept hearing over and over again, for example? Like, maybe it was their biggest fears, or just, were there any patterns?
They, They didn't talk to their friends that much.
Right.
That was interesting. They talked to their parents. There were a lot of different kinds of...
Dudes don't talk to each other about this.
I know. They just... It takes a lot to get to that place. And I don't know. It's not a place that they go with men and women a lot of times that I found. So it's tough. Men don't make it very easy. We don't make it very easy. We don't want to talk about it with a woman. We don't want to talk about it with our friends.
Then how do you figure it out? Is she right? Like in your head, you're just tossing it around?
I think two things. One is internally, it's kind of pinballing around in our heads a lot of times. And then we talk to our parents a lot. And a lot
good.
Of the men I talk to their mother. And then they didn't talk to their father, but they talked to their father. Like there was kind of more of an understanding. They could kind of skip to it. Like in that piece I wrote for CNN.com, the man in the lead paragraph of the story, it said, you know, his dad kind of just said very subtly, so what do you think, after he had met his girlfriend. And that was enough for the man to say to himself, I know exactly what my father's asking me, and you know what? This is it. You're absolutely right. That was his father's way of saying.
So there are all these moments where men just know that's what you're saying. That
yeah, I think so. Or sometimes you need to hear the same thing from a different person, right? We've learned
that.
Yeah,
no,
right?
Women, that's all we do is talk about it. Like we'd be like literally like in a round again. And in fact, sometimes it's like Groundhog Day. My friends yell at me because sometimes I talk about my relationships over and over again, and I say the same thing, and they're a little tired of hearing of it, but women do it a little too much, men maybe not enough. Let's talk to Jay. He's got a comment about marriage. Hi, Jay. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm
active duty military.
Okay.
So the whole marriage thing for me is something that I think I would want, but I know would be 10 times harder to maintain. It's really hard to get a relationship going because you transfer every 3 years. I personally don't know how to bring that subject up if I'm in a relationship with a girl and I think it might last long.
Did you write me a letter a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Okay, we actually read it because I totally remember
your story. I did not hear that.
No, it's okay. That's cool. I'm glad you're calling because I would just say that we don't know what you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, right now you're getting transferred every 3 years, but that's just kind of future tripping. Like I'm going to leave in a few years. I'm not going to be able to settle down with anyone right now. I mean, I just think that you have to just meet women and work on your relationships. And if you leave, maybe they'll come with you. But I don't think it should be such a deterrent. He's in the military, and it's tough because you feel like you can't really have any roots because you have to pick up and go. But there's plenty of men in the military before you and women who have made relationships work. So
yeah,
I feel like there's something else going on.
Good.
But I feel like there's something else going on. Like maybe you're also in a way using it with lack of a better word, like an excuse to not have to find a relationship. Because I think that I mean, 3 years is a long time. I've gone through many relationships in 3 years' time. And you could do a lot of damage and a lot of good stuff in 3 years. You know?
I get that. I really do. It's just all my friends that are my age, they'd have the family thing, and they're making it work, especially guys in the military. And I'm asking advice from all them, and I can't seem to get anything. I want it, personally. I want something that's decent and stable, and believe me, I'm tired of going to clubs.
Right.
Don't even get me started. So I'm one of those guys that's trying to settle down.
But you think you can't because you're always moving, so therefore it just wipes out all women.
Oh, well, it's not that I can't, but it's just, you know, I have to go. There's no choice in the matter. I have to leave, and, you know, I have, you know, and if it is like, she has to come with me if we want to make it work.
But if you're really in love and you meet this woman, she might, Alex, would you say something? I mean, she might want to come with you if she's in love with you. That's what you do for love.
Yeah, I was just going to say I think it's hard. I think you're absolutely right. And I think there's a lot of probably anxiety associated with all the kind of hurdles that you have that are unique over a lot of different other people. But at the end of the day, again, it kind of goes back to the thinking that you can't really conceptualize something that you don't have. I mean, it's funny what a relationship will do and a person will do. It's remarkable. I mean, at one point, what you guys will do to make it work. I mean, there is a threshold at some point, but ultimately, I would spend as much energy as you can and just enjoying yourself and meeting somebody and trying to and then I think you'd be surprised at what you guys would be able to accomplish if it was meant to be.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do. I'm actually going to the sandbox later this year. So when I get back, I'll take all your advice and put it to good use.
Yes, and keep listening to the show. You can find the podcast where we did talk about your letter. But I so appreciate you getting in touch with me and calling. It's great to hear from you.
It's good to hear from you.
Good luck to you. Bye, Jay. Okay. Let's talk to Sarah.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling.
I have a question about divorce rates. So I almost feel like it's better to stay in a relationship that's open than to, you know, invest all of your emotions into this relationship that, you know, is probably likely to end up badly.
Right, because 50% of marriages end in divorce.
Right.
Yeah. So are you married right now?
No, I'm not.
You're not. Are you divorced?
No.
Neither. You're just like, I'm not even going to try it because I'm going to get divorced.
Exactly.
So, Alex, okay, I have a question for you. We've got Alex Wellen here. He's the author of Lovesick. It's his new novel that came out. Novel, that's what we're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new, I'm sorry, I'm not a writer. It always confused me, the novel, the thing. He came out about, he's an expert on this stuff. Men, marriage, relationships. Divorce must have come up a lot. What do you think about the divorce rates?
Right. And well, expert only to the extent that I've written about it and interviewed folks, but I'm more of a reporter in that way. But I will say, thank you. It's very flattering. I was just going to say that I was reading it. There's a great, interesting, a little depressing article in Time magazine. If you look at the Time magazine cover from a few weeks back, it shows a cake. And it shows a couple kind of falling through the cake, and they talks about the erosion of marriage. And in the article, it talks about divorce rates being so high, but it also talks about marriage rates continuing to be very high. And Americans like to marry. They get, like, the divorce as well, but they get married more than anyone else as well.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's kind of a positive is, you know, I think in the equation of love is that while people get divorced more, many more people here get married. And so there's really no pressure to get married at all. But as you come across somebody, you may very well find that you want something deeper, whether that means you want to do it in front of other people and have a legal document or not, but you may want something deeper.
Yeah, we're like a marriage culture and we're a divorce culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do both more with greater frequency than anywhere else in the Western world, for sure. And so, but it is, you know, it's a turn. I think a lot of us don't, we come from divorced parents and we don't want to repeat that. So we're just slower about getting married and, you know, so it's tricky to figure it out. It is tricky, tricky, tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I come from a divorced family. Your parents married, divorced?
My parents are married.
They're still married?
They're
That's
still
good.
Married.
I'm so happy for them.
So and I'm sure those things are somewhat influences too. But there are a lot, too many variables to name that kind of give you your disposition about marriage. I mean, just even friends and family, it doesn't necessarily have to be your parents. I mean, you're kind of sense of that
right.
Institution too. And I actually talked to a lot of men who were married 2-3 times, and they talked about why. They liked, for example, this one man who's not in the piece that I wrote about, but that I did in one of the interviews. He loved the fact that this woman just wasn't playing games. His wife, well, she had been in an arranged marriage, and he had been, you know, in just a failed marriage, and then two prior failed marriages. It was his third marriage and her second from an arranged marriage. And ultimately, he felt it was working because she just wasn't going to play games. She was just kind of a straight shooter. There wasn't kind of this kind of youthful kind of underneath the skin type of positioning for power or for getting what she wanted. So mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that the more forthright, the more upfront that she was, and I'm sure it was painful at times when you hear exactly the way it is, but that helped a lot.
Not right. Really and he was probably coming from a place where, he was, all these women were playing games and here's the one person that wasn't and it was different and stood out. And so, okay, let's talk to Hannah.
Hey.
Hi, Anna. Thanks for calling.
Hey, so, okay, you know how earlier in the show you're like, hey, so sex on the first date. If a guy, like, if you do have sex on the first date, the guy will probably not go after you. Wouldn't that, like, kind of dissolve if it's the right timing?
If it's the right timing and it's the right person, I would say that, that shouldn't be a deterrent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that was, like, not contradictory, and I'm like, eh. because if it's the right place and the right time, wouldn't it just be like, yes, no. I want your body instead of like...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no, there was this woman, this guy who was saying, I had sex with this woman on the first date, but too bad we're never going out again because she slept with me on the first date. And you're like, wait a minute. You said, it's like, you slept with her, you tried to sleep with her, and now you don't want to go out with her again just because she slept with you? It's like, if you're having great sex and you're together and it was you had a good time, why not go out again? I mean, typically it's good to wait, I think, if you can wait at least one more to the second date, for example, so you got something to do on the second date that you didn't already do on the first date. But I don't think there's anything wrong with sleeping together on the first date. But some people do think that, you know, they're like, oh, that means she puts out all the time. She slept with me, she slept with every other guy.
Well, wouldn't the, like, or I'm just wondering if that would still apply to a guy who previously would have thought, like, oh, she slept with me on the first date. If it was the right person, would he throw that away with abandon?
Hopefully not. Hopefully he'd be able to see that this is someone that has potential and he wouldn't throw it away. So,
yeah. I don't know. What does Alex say about that?
What do you say, Alex?
Well, I think that that you know, it's definitely not a deal breaker. But it's the sex on the first date, and that's gonna. And we know plenty of relationships that happens. But you know, I think there's a lot of good arguments that there's no rush either. I mean, if this is the thing that's going to be, if you know, if you feel something very strong, it feels unique in that relationship, that, you know, there's probably some advantages to holding off that Emily talked about earlier as well. So, you know, I think that it's one of these things that, again, let me put it a different way. There are just sometimes what happens is, though, you don't know immediately. You know, I'm not sure it's always utterly clear immediately that this is going to be that special relationship. I think that you need a little time to get to know somebody and figure out if this is going to be something big. And if that's the case, that's a good argument not to have sex on the first date, because, you know, you should have a little more information, even though you suspect it's a big thing.
But then you have too many drinks, and it happens. You know, that happens. No, but really, I do typically think it's a good thing to wait. Like, there's nothing to lose. But I'm not saying you should, you know, not date someone because they slept with you on the first date. It's so funny. For years I've been doing the show, and this topic gets so many calls because people apparently a lot of people are confused about it, sleeping around, not getting calls, sleeping around. But then we had someone who called in and said they were married 13 years, and he slept with his wife on the first date.
Yeah, I thought that was a good call.
So there you have it. Okay, let's talk to Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
Hi, Emily. I actually just spent my first date with my first girlfriend for a year, and I just wanted to talk about the idea of marriage has come up to me plenty of times, but I haven't ever really talked to her about it.
Okay.
But I just wanted to give some input, because I think that a lot of people are right in that the previous callers are right in that you shouldn't, like try to predict anything, just like go with the flow, if that makes any sense. And women probably shouldn't like try to formulate anything, like try to set some kind of age, like if they don't get married by age 27, they're just like, they shouldn't think they're a loser, you know, these kind of things. If you try to plan it out, it will really always almost go like wrong.
Right. I think that's right. I think you just gotta, if you have all these expectations and someone's gotta meet all these things, this whole entire checklist, and I thought my life was gonna be this one way, you're doomed. Because life is never what we thought it was gonna be. That's why I just don't think about it personally. But Ricky, why does this, is this something going on with you right now? What's happening with your girlfriend, you said? She's trying
to... Talk to me about you. I've been dating my girlfriend for about a year.
Okay.
We just had dinner and... No, we're like extremely happy, but for us it's kind of slow because we're in school. I'm 21. I'm turning 22 next month, and I'm still in school, going to grad school in the fall. But we're just like taking things extremely slow because of financial things. Like I'm not going to be making much money as a grad student, and she's looking for a job. You know, things like that.
And you're young.
Yeah, especially like I don't want to be of that 50%, you know, of the divorce rate. I want to just make sure she is right, you know, even though she is my first girlfriend.
Right, you should. Is she pressuring you?
No. We haven't talked about it very much. Like, we'll talk about it briefly.
Right.
But we never, like, sat down, have a serious conversation about it.
Okay. Good. I think you should take your time. Talk about it, but take your time. It's good to talk, but you're young. You're still in school. You got to make, you know, you got stuff going on. But I'm happy you found someone that you're happy with right now.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ricky. Thanks for calling. Have a great night. That's something we were going to talk about. I was thinking about earlier is like, what is this age? There's all these things they say that like you should never marry past, you know, if you're younger than 30. Like, you should only marry, like, if you're 30 or older. If you get married at 25, it's a mistake. Your marriage is going to end. What do you think about all those rules around age, Alex Wellen?
So, let's see. Timing. So, this gets back to timing a little bit, too.
Timing.
Right?
I want to get to it the bottom does. Of it tonight before we get out of here. Can we solve the timing thing?
We can solve it
I'd
in
like
just
to.
That you know, definitely there are times in your life that are harder to be in a position to meet that person, right? When you're in school and the throes of school, if you're just moving, if your job is in the military and you're – I mean, those things are realistic things that are going to make it more difficult, that are kind of going rooting against you to at least have the ability to find that person, see that person straight ahead. To that extent, yeah, timing is an element. There's no question about it. But ultimately, if you can somewhat see clearly, I think you can – you're ready to meet them. You know,
you might just be ready. You might be in a ball.
Early 20s onward. I mean,
right.
I think that
– you shouldn't put any hard, fast rules on it.
Right. I mean, I will say that of the people that I know that have met earlier in their earlier like 20s, that it's always ideal to have more time in the relationship before you're going to ultimately get married. So,
right.
Like, for example, the guy who wanted to have the salary and have enough money to be able to have this kind of relationship, they met when they were 17, 18, but they were together for 7 years. Now, that's a long time, 7 years, but 17 is really young.
Really?
And
young.
They got married at 24.
Right.
So, I mean, that for them, that equation worked just fine.
Right.
But those are things to probably consider. There's no rush either. I mean, ultimately, if there's a commitment there, there's a commitment there. And ultimately, you see that more and more.
Okay, let's talk to Dustin. Hey, Dustin, what's up? Thanks for calling.
How's it going tonight?
Good. How is it going with you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I'm actually driving back from Sacramento, and first-time caller. Yay!
Yay! We should have a noise for that sound for that too. First-time caller. Ding, ding,
yeah,
ding!
Darren,
like a moaning noise.
Along. There was actually I heard you guys mention having a fear of commitment.
Yes. My favorite
okay,
topic.
The situation, right? My parents are having a thing. I don't know if they're still together or not. But, needless to say, I lost the train of thought. Okay, yes. The way my parents treated each other,
mm-hmm.
I had a fear of turning out like my father in that respect.
Right. Okay.
So, thankfully, I've gotten over that, but I could see where... You know, that could be a factor as to somebody not wanting to be in a relationship.
Right. Because of where you came from.
But what does the man think?
What does the man think? Alex,
yes.
What do you think? You're all of a sudden, you're answering all these questions.
Yeah,
what do you think about fear of commitment?
I'm not Dr. Love.
He's not Dr. Love, but he just did talk to a lot of men who were deciding to get married and what they decided. And so what about these commitment phobes?
So, but is the question more about...
Yeah, what is the question?
More about the influence that your father has on the way you approach relationships. To that end, obviously, and we lost the call, but I will say that, you know, I think it goes without saying that the role models that you have in your life, and obviously your father is going to be one of the biggest. And men that I talk to, many men that I talk to, actually, when I asked, here's something interesting, right, Emily? So I said to them, are you a romantic? And they bristled at that question.
Mm-hmm.
They hated being called a romantic. But yet all of them told me stories that were clearly, by any woman's standard, romantic. Right. So being a romantic versus being romantic, and it sounds like a subtlety, but there's a distinction there. Men didn't want to be branded with this.
Right.
For some reason, it was emasculating or weakening to be called a romantic. But to do things that are romantic was macho enough or was masculine enough. And so to that end, you know, it's the way we kind of communicate about the way men are. And they talked a lot about their fathers. And they said, like, I remember my dad bought my mother, for me personally, I remember my dad bought my mother that song Lady by, was it by Willie Nelson? Was
Lady?
No, not Lady, no. Kenny Rogers.
Oh, Kenny Rogers?
Yeah,
okay.
They're so good. Like, other men talked about when their father brought balloons or flowers for their mother.
They remember those things.
Those things made immense impressions, and I'm sure there are negative impressions out there as well. Those things make immense impressions on what a man kind of perceives as being romantic.
And so what were some of the romantic things that you heard? Anything good? Any good stories?
Oh, there are great stories. All the men really were anxious. So here's the thing about men. So this is going to – I don't mean to stereotype at all. But
no, but
so,
we like that.
Well, women, right, women are classically associated with wedding planning and the weddings and the fantasy with the wedding. And so men are classically associated with popping the question, as I learned. Then men think a lot about how am I going to – once they decide – how am I going to really pop the question in an interesting, surprising, shocking way?
Never been done before.
Right. This is men obsess about.
They do? How, I'd love to hear men obsess about that.
So the, and they had come up with great stories. One man was at the top of, had a photographer ready at the top of the Empire State Building to catch a picture of him getting down on one knee. Another man made a DVD, a video game where the last answer or question was about whether
I love it.
Isn't that good? Whether she would marry him.
What else?
There were, how are some of the other, I'm trying to think.
Those
I mean,
are great
the blimps.
Ones.
They're the
blimps.
The blimps.
You gotta do a blimp,
and
right?
And the propeller planes. And then there was another man who, ran the marathon at the 26 mile, only 0.3 away from, the finish line. He got down on his knee and his girlfriend was right there and there were signs and everything ready to go. So, these are clearly romantic things. There's nothing. There's no getting around them. Would all of them have said they are, quote, romantic? Probably not.
Right.
So,
this is what the man obsessed with. How did you do it?
An obsess. I don't know, but they think about it a lot.
How did you do it?
And I wrote it in Lovesick. It's almost
this is his book, Lovesick, Alex Wellen. You got to get his book, Lovesick. You can find it on Amazon.
Amazon.com and in most bookstores.
Most bookstores.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone loves it. Gwyneth Paltrow, Larry King, Poe Bronson. Lots of people love it. And myself will love it, I know.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Well,
so how'd you do it?
Oh, so how did I do it?
How did you propose to your
lovely
wife?
So in the book, I do it.
You do a lovely wife.
The character is actually frame by frame of how we did it. And I did it. I carried seven letters, Scrabble letters around all day. And then when we were back at the bed and breakfast, which I knew Chris would like, I caused a distraction to switch out my letters on my rack. And when I saw an opportunity to play the letters Marry Me, I did. And I actually played them as Rammer Me, and then I started tallying up my score, and she was annoyed because she was like, that's not a word. And then I said, it's a word. And then she's like, do you want a challenge? And she's like, it's not a word. And then ultimately I rearranged the letters on the board.
That's so nice.
Thank you.
Are you a romantic?
No, I'm not a romantic.
Yes, sweet though.
Thank you.
Oh my God, Alex, we gotta go.
Okay.
We gotta break. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I appreciate it. It was great to see you.
Yeah, definitely great.
And good
to see
luck
you
with
too.
Your book, Lovesick.
Thank you so much. Awesome. I'll see you again.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'll be listening.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Tell your friends.
I will. I promise.
Tell your friends at CNN. He's a big wig at CNN too. So on the side, he writes books, and he's a big deal. He's kind of a big deal. Thanks for being here, Alex. When we come back, we've got some sex foreplay tips, some of the best foreplay tips you've not yet heard, and four things you should never tease a guy about. It's Sex with Emily and Annie. If you want to hold on, we'll get you when we come back. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I need to tell you about one of the great companies that's keeping my show free. Who doesn't want to spice things up in the bedroom? Maybe you've been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie. Well, here's a really special offer for my Sex with Emily listeners. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. So this is a great time to try a couple's toy like the Lilo Siri, or a vibrating ring, or even a rabbit. But that's not all. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration, plus a free extra gift. So sexy, I just want to surprise you with it. And to top it all off, Adam and Eve will throw in free shipping on your entire order. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type Emily for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. So just use offer code Emily at adamandeve.com. Thanks for listening. It's Sex with Emily. It sure is. Here we are, Sunday night. It is, what time is it already? 11:30. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We're on till midnight. I would love to hear from you. Let's open the phones. Anything you want to say about sex, relationships, dating, marriage, love, 800-400-FM97. You can also email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. And you can find me on Facebook, Emily Hope Morse, M-O-R-S-E, or on Twitter, Emily Morse. It's good. That funny these days? It used to be like, here's my phone number. Now I've got like 16 ways you can find me. But yeah, you can always find everything at sexwithemily.com. That was Alex Wellm. We were talking about marriage and men and relationships. And now we're going to get into some foreplay tips. But first, these are like, I read these foreplay tips. I'm like, these are really good tips for foreplay. I know men are going, oh my God, foreplay. But you know what? You got to do it and you're going to like it. You're going to like what I tell you. But I'm taking your calls, 800-400-FM97. Let's talk to Annie. Hey, Annie, thanks for holding.
Hi, Emily. Well, I was on the marriage track, but now you're talking about foreplay, so I have to completely change my train of thought.
No. We're always talking about everything. You know what I'm saying? It's fluid. Tell me about the marriage.
It's very fluid. No. The question is, and it's not even a question, it's just kind of a general principle, and I want to talk to you about this and to people out there in general. It's like, you know, I've been happily married for 15 plus years, somewhere between 15 and 20.
Good for you.
And I look forward to be happily married till, you know, I hope to die by my husband's side. But in the meantime, and I love him dearly, of course, I mean, is one allowed to have a passionate, illicit attraction to a hot something somewhere? And of course one's allowed, but, you know, what do you do with that? And is it not okay to pursue it just once for the memory? I mean, we come from Puritan society, but you know, what's your take on this?
My take on this is that we are not, I mean, okay, gosh. I mean, I think that it can, you know, wreak havoc on the relationship, right? I mean, are you doing secretly and your husband wouldn't know kind of thing? Is that what you're talking about? It'd be like I think it's hard if I don't know if your husband agrees, but I do think that we are not naturally meant to be with one person for the rest of our lives. I mean, it is scientific. I mean, biologists like, you know, Helen Fisher, I don't know if you know who Helen Fisher is. She's done a lot of writing on this and about, you know, sex and biology. And I actually have a quote here. She suggests that she's long argued that falling in love and falling out of love is part of our evolutionary biology, and the humans are programmed not for lifelong monogamy, but for serial monogamy in stretches of 4 years to be exact, approximately the time it takes to get one kid safely through infancy. And it's true. So by staying married to one person, being monogamous is a struggle. It is against our DNA. It is not who we're supposed to be. And so
I think that, you know, for me to be a really, really great, happy wife is to really pursue my own fantasy world on my own time. And it's nothing to do with my spouse because we have a great marriage. And it's not his business. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like, it's sort of like me liking to shop.
Exactly. Exactly.
A girl likes to shop for shoes and a man doesn't really care about shoes.
Exactly.
You know, and so she can have her own thing going on. Well, anyway, I love your show, so I just wanted to give you a call.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks
for listening. Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye. I think it's true. It's like men and women, we miss that attraction. We miss that initial attraction we had to someone. And I think that it's tough. I think when you marry and you stay with someone 15 years or 20 years or 5 years, that you just kind of, we miss that newness. And then
the spark.
And again, I know that you make the decision that you're not going to do that, especially if you have kids. Yeah. I mean, if you have kids, I don't know how you're all sleeping around with other people and you're coming home to dinner every night. It's tough, but do I think it's natural? No, it is not natural to be with one person for the rest of your life, because that's kind of what she was.
I think that's.
She also wanted to know about this. Like, could she just go off and do it? She was saying she kind of wanted to go off and have a little tryst. And I don't know what to say about that. I don't think I can't say yes or no. I don't know what's going on in her situation. But there's a lot of times that couples do things like this, and they have arrangements where they can, you know, you hear everything. People think that marriage is all the same. Like, you look at, you know, 100 marriages, you're going to get 100 different stories. And there are couples who say, you know what, once a year, we're each going to hook up with someone else. Or, you know, we're going to have emotional affairs. Or I'm going to be with someone, but I'm not going to have sex with them. We're just going to kiss. We're just going to make out. I know couples who are allowed to make out with other people, but they're not allowed to have sex with someone else. And we're actually having, I'm so excited. I think it's next week we're having Liana Silver on the show. And she is a alternative relationship specialist. She talks about polyamory and non-monogamy, basically. And I'm really excited because we get so many questions about this, like, how do alternative relationships work? So she's going to be on the show next week, next Sunday night, 9 to midnight. Very, very excited about that. So, how you doing, Marcelina, assistant producer tonight?
Pretty good. It sounds like it's a relationship-by-relationship basis, these boundaries of polyamory, dating others.
Exactly.
Because maybe, you know, you can't always find the right person who will accept that lifestyle.
Right. And I think that a lot of couples make them up together. Like, they kind of decide, right, once they're together, this is what's going to work for us.
That's the best way.
That's the best way to do it.
Like,
exactly.
Pieces.
It's possible to put it all together. Mm. Okay, so this is the time of the night. I do have some more letters to read, but I'm going to finish reading them next week. So thank you to everyone who emailed me at feedback@sexwithemily.com. I tried to read all your letters, and thank you for listening to that, and thank you for emailing me. But we got to get into some sex, nitty-gritty sex right now.
Some juicy part.
We got to get into some sex. I found this, and this is foreplay for men and women. And yes, men, foreplay is good for you too. This is from mypleasure.com. I found it on their website. I love mypleasure.com. You can get a lot of great toys and information at My Pleasure. But here's just some little tips. And I love to give tips that are doable. I'm not going to say, like, go do this Kama Sutra, you know, the 18th pose and wrap your leg around your neck. I'm not going to say that. But here's just a few little foreplay things that I found particularly interesting. And new and doable. I want doable. We're all so busy. Like, I'm not going to make you go out and buy a million different things. Okay,
or here a waterfall.
It is. Or a waterfall.
Who has a waterfall lying around?
I know. Earlier we read that Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are having, like, not only do they have rockin' sex, but they, like, have it in their backyard in their waterfall.
Yeah, I'd have to go to a hotel for that. Vegas.
Vegas or something in the waterfall. Not Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's foreplay sex tips. Getting a leg up, tip one. So many times people rush to give attention to the obvious erogenous zones without first heightening passion in other ways. The next time you're with your partner, we suggest you give some special attention to their legs. Work from the bottom to the top, lingering at each location. Kiss the backs of their ankles. Tickle their calves. Blow on the back of the knees, then stroke and massage their inner and outer thighs using a mix of light and heavy strokes. This last part of your journey will not only create exquisite sexual tension between you, it will also physically prep your partner for an amazing orgasm by bringing extra blood flow to their genitals. Did you know that?
I can't say
on the legs.
I didn't know that.
See, this is the problem, is that it says here, we rush to the obvious erogenous zones. We know where we're going to go. We know where our hands are going to end up. We know where we're going to end up. By the end of the night, we're going to touch this spot, that spot. There's about four different spots, right? Two on the woman, two on the man. Really, two on the woman and one on the man. That's the sure thing that you're going to go do. And it just says that there are ways just, like, to slow it down and, like, pay attention to the legs, the ankles.
Like, I like
it's
that
really,
tip.
I like that, too. I like
you're
that.
Paying attention to the whole body. You're saying hello.
You're saying hello to the body. Pay attention to the legs. Just focus on the legs. Like, stay away from my breast for a minute. Don't go right for my breast.
It's like they're teasing you.
I know. Tease me. Tease me. This is such a big thing. Tease me. Okay. Here's the next foreplay sex tip. A smooth touch. If you want to add more sensuality to your love play and to your daily life, have your partner rub you down with your favorite lotion after your morning shower or at the end of the day before going to bed. In the 5 or 10 minutes it will take to cover you from head to foot, you'll both benefit from the touch of one another's skin, the feel and smell of the lotion, and the whole experience of being close. The next time, you can do the honors. This allows your lover to feel the warmth of your touch, and you have explored every inch of their body, not just tried and true erogenous zones. In the short time it takes to complete the sensual ritual, you'll not only take care of your bodies and ease daily tension, but most importantly, you'll enjoy reconnecting as a couple. Mm-hmm. So it's all about, like, slowing down. If we're having sex, I mean, and we've been together a while, I mean, it's really important to explore. We don't pay attention to, like, each other's shoulders or backs of necks or backs of the knees or your fingertips. I mean, there's just so many parts of the body that are erogenous beyond the obvious candidates.
You know what I like about this one?
What?
It lasts all day. If you wake up with your partner and, like, it's been summer, so every day I'm putting on sunscreen. He puts my sunscreen on.
Yes.
Say I rub myself bump myself walking and I feel soft, I know that's like something he did for me.
Exactly.
I get all excited. I'm like, yeah,
what a
good
way to start your day. And I know you're all rushing, going like, who's got time? My alarm's going off 6 times. I got out of bed. Do it in the evening then.
And there's also flavored lotions. One of my favorite.
It's flavored lotions? Which one?
There's this, I can't think of the brand, but it's strawberry flavored, and it's so great. You can lick it off each other. And
wow, there is. We actually have fifth
stuff. They have it at mypleasure.com.
They do have it at My Pleasure. That's actually in here. They have 31 flavors, it says. There are many delectable flavors of lubricant and edible body products now available. Why settle for one? Some night when you want to give your lover a special treat, dab different flavors of lubricant strategically over your different erogenous zones and have your sweetie taste your skin to discover them one by one. It'll be a delicious adventure for both of you. So, yeah, flavored stuff. Okay. How about game night? And I know, okay, I always read this stuff and be like, yeah, we're really going to sit and play a game. We're really going to do this. But seriously, what else are you doing? You're having sex. You're going straight for her breasts. And then you're going straight down her pants. And then she's grabbing for you. And you're grabbing for her. And you're having sex. And it's the same exact thing every day of your life. Every time you have sex, exactly the same. And I'm just giving you a few examples here of things that you can do to change your sex. I feel like I'm yelling. I'm really getting excited about this because I know you're probably going,
you're passionate.
I'm so emphatically passionate about this.
Alex and his wife were playing games. And look how it turned out for them.
That was so
very
cute.
Romantic.
He proposed to her with the Scrabble game.
Yeah. He's so romantic.
You could tell that he is.
He is.
He's a sweetheart.
He's one of those guys who says he isn't, but he is.
Sweetheart, that you are. Okay. Game night. Here's one. We're talking about foreplay things. These are little things you can do at home. I'm not making you go out and buy a whole new massage table and do a whole thing and like a sex swing. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying these are things that you already have in your home that you could use. It's like on those cooking shows where they're like, this is something you can make with just ingredients you have in your house. This is foreplay you can do with everything you have at home. Game night. If your house is like most, you've got games stacked in a closet somewhere that rarely get used. It might be an old board game, a word game, or a trivia game. Whatever you have around, take it out some night when your lover is with you and challenge them to the game. They might not be very excited until you tell about the sexy stakes. Maybe you play a game where spelling out naughty words is encouraged. And the winner gets to have the loser as their love slave for a night. A match might require you to shed a piece of clothing for each missed answer. The rules you choose can be your own. What's important is that you make the night playful and passionate, using what you've already got around. Anyone up for Naked Twister?
I'll say yes. I have Twister. That's so funny.
There you go.
Have you played Naked Twister?
I've not played Naked Twister, but I've played like strip
poker.
And yeah, that's always fun.
I don't
spin the
play
bottle
poker
and that
anymore.
Stuff is still fun. You don't play poker? Why? Do you lose your shirt?
I always end up naked. I'm
you
that
do?
Person. Yeah.
Marcelino, the naked poker player. I love doing games like that. I think that that's a great thing. Yeah, you play your Monopoly, and you're like, every time I pass go, we go. I like this one, too. Okay, this is for sports fanatics. I've dated guys who are really into sports. I've dated guys not into sports. And I appreciate that men love sports, but sometimes it is a little bit annoying, I have to say, because I'm not a big sports fanatic. But here's another one here. This is a foreplay tip. Ready? Let the games begin. It's long been known, at least among so-called sports widows and the occasional sports widower, that your significant other's sports season of choice can put a damper on your sex life. Baby, just let me watch the game. Sound familiar? If so, the next time your lover's team comes on TV, make him a deal. You'll watch the game together, each picking a team and betting for sexual favors. For basketball fans, the next 2 points your team scores might get you a kiss on the neck. A 3-point shot could earn you a sensual massage during the commercial break. For you football fans, your team's touchdown might be good for oral favors. Whatever rules you make up together, by the game's end, I doubt you'll end up watching television. Okay, I like that, but men are so into sports that I could see them being like, I'm not playing your game. I just want the game, and I don't want you here next to me kissing my neck when there's a 2-point score.
I agree. They're going to be like, get out of the way. I just missed the touchdown.
Exactly.
He hit a home run.
They're like, sex and sports, I want them both. I don't want them together. Yeah,
the woman should take that time when he's watching the game to go do her own thing.
Exactly.
Go shop for shoes. So
whatever her thing is.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's another sexy foreplay tip. Dream on. Don't forget to exercise the most important erotic muscle you have, your mind. Letting yourself fantasize throughout the day about sexy scenes and sensual acts builds your anticipation and creativity. This is a surefire way to make sex that much more satisfying when you finally get to indulge, whether you have a lovemaking session with a partner or a solo session with a star of your fantasies. So basically it's saying how you build up this fantasy is to use your mind throughout the day, think of sexy things. That works. That totally works.
That
Don't
does.
You think?
I think so. Daydreaming. You're sitting there on your lunch break. You're
yeah.
Thinking about what you're going to do later tonight.
Right.
I'm going to go home and maybe not.
I guess they're just saying that throughout the day, you can just be thinking of sexy things. Like I always, whenever I have really good sex with someone, I always think about it the next day or the next few days. And you get that feeling in your stomach in the middle of the day when you remember it.
Those are called butterflies.
Butterflies? Do I get butterflies? Oh my God. I guess I do. Okay. Let's talk to Kathy. Hey, Kathy. Thanks for calling.
Okay. I mean, I don't need to know, like, how old you guys are, but who's got time to be playing board games?
You could play cards. Do you ever play Gin Rummy?
Okay, I don't have time to do my dishes, let alone sit around and play cards.
Okay, but how's your sex life?
I don't have a sex life. I work.
Okay, right. But are you dating anyone?
No.
Okay. So what I'm saying is a lot of couples complain there's no time for foreplay. They don't have sex. And when they do have sex, it's exactly the same. So what I'm saying is what can you do that's already in the house to spice it up? Now, your situation is a bit different. We might talk about just finding someone and not working as much so you can have sex. You know what I'm saying?
Can I ask a question? Do you work one job full time?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's a little more than full time. I own my own business.
I know. I hear you. So do I. So are you missing having sex right now?
Am I what?
Are you looking for a partner?
No.
So you're not looking for a partner. You're not looking for sex. You're just working.
Right.
So you don't have time to even brush your teeth. So board games are not for you.
I manage the teeth. I manage the shower. I manage, clean clothes. And then the rest of it is I'm working.
Are you interested in having sex again at any time in your life?
No, I'm not.
You're not? Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for calling. I don't know what to do about that. She doesn't ever want to have sex again. I'm concerned about people who don't want to ever have sex again.
Me too.
One of my friends, I have to say, she's changed her mind now, but she's been married for 15 years, and she said to me, you know what, Emily? I feel like I've had enough really good sex, and I'm done. And I was like, how are you done? You can't be done with sex. I mean,
exactly.
She can say it, but like Kathy's working so hard. She's a workaholic and she's done with sex. Uh-huh. I just can't believe that she's done with sex, but it happens, right?
I guess so.
Okay.
I don't know. That's the thought of no sex later in life is kind of scary. And then also she brought our ages. There's a wide range of age.
Yeah, we've got
20s,
we've got 30s. I mean, we've got everyone here. What's our age? We're playing board games. We're not playing Candyland, Kathy.
Right. And also, my friends and I, we play Uno. I just got back from camping trip.
Did you play Strip Uno?
Strip Uno. I'm going to bring that up. Maybe not with my friends who have couples, because my best girlfriend, I don't think she wants me to see her boyfriend naked. But I will make that game up and report back.
Okay, more foreplay tips. What do you think? Undressed and okay, this one is so good. I really like this one. Undressed and impressed. Try a new twist on an old favorite. Perform a unique striptease dance for your lover. That's not the part that I like. First, impose a strict look but don't touch rule. So using soft wrist restraints on your partner will help. Then as you disrobe, erotically remove articles of clothing from them as well. Do this until you're both naked and ready for more action. You may or may not want to remove the restraint. So they're saying you tie his hands back. He ties your hands back. But what I liked about this was the look but not touch. It's so hot for you both to undress and not touch each other and just look at each other and not, or like one person does at a time and not touch. You get, think about it. You always touch when you're together. You touch. But when you don't, it is this heightened sense of arousal that I can't even explain. It's like you want it so much more when you don't allow yourself to have it right away. So either by restraining your partner and doing a little, and again, part of me feels so cliche here. I'm sorry. I feel cliche. Do a sexy dance, play a game. But I really mean it. Like, I really mean these are little things that you've probably never done that you should do.
Have you done that for a guy?
I've done the strict, the not touching rule. I've done the, like, we can only look at each other and we both are going to undress and we can't touch. And it is so hot. It is hot,
no
hot,
touching
hot.
Is definitely key.
I know.
It's that buildup.
Okay, let's do one more of these. And then we really have to read 4 things you should never tease the guy about because I keep bringing that up. Ready? Oh, this one's been none known, but chill him out. Run an ice cube over your lover's body while it melts before sex. They'll get the chills and then you can warm them up. Do you ever do the ice cube thing?
Once, but I am the girl in the office who's always cold.
Right. So use the space heater.
Yeah. So put the space heater on.
Put the space heater on. Does anyone else have any good foreplay tips? Call us 800-400-FM-97. We're on for a few more minutes here. I'm going to read some more of these another time, but that was some good sex tips. Here's 4 things you should never tease a guy about. Ready? I bet you can guess what some of them are. The first one is hair. Why is it such a sore spot for men? Well, believe it or not, besides, it says, if there's anything men are more sensitive about besides old movies about dogs, it's our hair. Every guy I know worries about losing his locks one day because he truly believes that with his hair gone, so is his ability to attract women. Huh. I know so many women who find, like, bald men very attractive. I have never heard that as a deal breaker.
Me neither.
So we don't need to talk about it because this is 4 things that we shouldn't tease you about. We're not teasing you that you're bald. We think it's hot. But if you have like a little bit of hair left and you should be bald, just shave it all off.
Right. None of this come over stuff.
Right. Don't come over anything.
You know, a bald head is just a solar panel for a sex machine.
I like it. So it's a solar panel for a sex machine. Okay, the next thing you should never tease a guy about is their height. And I've been so guilty of that. Not teasing, but I've been like, how tall are you? Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. Or I know when guys are lying about their height. They're like 5'10". I'm like, you're 5'11". You're 5'8". Like, I can tell right away.
Yeah.
It says, men can't do anything about their height. My dad and both my brothers, this is an article that I wrote, my dad and both my brothers are 6 feet tall. I'm 5'8 inches. A few months ago, my friend Jody teased, your brother's got the height. What did you get? Ooh, although there have been many yet powerful types like Napoleon, and Napoleon studies show that taller men are taken more seriously than guys like me, there's a common held belief, and this is so true, that the taller a guy is, the proportionally bigger he is elsewhere. And that is not true.
It's not true.
I'm telling you, there is not a correlation between how tall a guy is and how tall he is elsewhere, how big he is elsewhere. I'm telling you, I can tell you this from experience.
So,
and from other experience.
I wonder if this guy, this short guy, he felt like the girl making a comment about his height didn't like short guys.
Maybe, but she said, oh, your dad got the height, and what'd you get? Like, even the problem is they're saying never tease guys about this because,
definitely,
first of all, the thing that we're saying here is the operative word is tease. We're not saying we're making fun of you in a sense of like, we think it's bad. It's a tease. But they're saying, the first cut is the deepest. Like, this stuff is cutting you because it runs so deep in men.
Right.
So if you tease them about their height or their hair, the next one is they're mocking their manhood. So it's basically teasing him about his member, if you will.
Right.
Never comment on a man's penis because he does not get over that.
Never.
Never, ever, ever.
Just consider the relationship, your chance with that guy, done if you comment about his penis.
Yeah. I mean, you can say that it was the biggest. That's
say
fine.
Positive things.
Positive things. Always be positive. Okay, and then the fourth thing is their salary. You should never, ever joke about their salary. They believe that their financial worth reflects their inner worth. So teasing us about our salaries is another way of making fun of our manhood. And I think that's true. Like, men feel kind of castrated, I think, when they don't have a job or they're not working and you make a joke about it.
I agree.
Not a good thing. Okay, should we take a call? So that was the 4 things you should never tease a man about. Hair, stature, salary, and penis size.
Yeah.
We could take a quick call. We've got about a minute.
All right.
Let's talk to Rick. Hey, Rick.
Hello, how are you?
Good, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Great to hear from you.
I was just calling in. I'm listening to your show, and I'm actually getting ready to propose to my girlfriend.
Ooh, congratulations.
Thank you. We've been together almost 2 years, and I'm trying to, I've got a couple ideas, but I'm always up for new ideas of a really good romantic idea as far as...
Oh, my God. I need to know more about you guys, like what you do together. Do you hike? Do you bike? Do you go to the movies?
Well, we do a little better than that. We actually go riding horses on the beach. We've done that quite a few times, which is very enjoyable for both of us.
That sounds fun.
We like to go camping. You know, as far as doing things together, we do pretty much everything. I mean, like, we'll take...
Right.
I live close to the Bay Area, so we'll go down and just for a drive, like last, we drove down to San Francisco and had dinner, and then we went up and sat on top of the, up above the Golden Gate Bridge there and just kind of sat there and
That's
talked.
That's so nice. You guys do a lot of outdoorsy stuff.
Very much so, yeah.
So just be careful and don't drop it. I read somewhere that a man was proposing to a woman on the New York, on the bridge in New York, and he dropped the ring. Just be careful.
That's not good.
Honey, I don't know. This is tough for me. Like, I'm the kind of thing I need to sit and talk to you for 25 minutes about this. But I just think something outdoor, I mean, something where you're, like, she least expect it when you're, you know, I was just picturing you camping and making a s'more and putting it in the marshmallow or something and she bites it. No, you know, I don't know.
I agree.
Something like that.
Fortune cookie or something.
Fortune cookie.
Get a friend to help you.
I need more information. Email me, and I'll think about it.
Okay, what's your email address?
I'm feedback@sexwithemily.com. Oh, you have an idea? VJ's got an idea, our call screener. VJ,
okay. All right, so you say you like to go horseback riding on the beach, right?
Yes.
What about at the very end of your horseback riding on the beach, in rocks, will you marry me? Or something, like... Or, you know, something on the beach where as you finish your horseback riding, you have something prepared for her where you're ready to propose. Maybe like a sign, rock, something along those lines, written in the sand, as long as there's nobody there.
Yeah, I thought about doing the writing in the sand or something to that effect, is go ahead, go somewhere, do something, and then later on that afternoon or evening and take her. But the problem with the sand is, if it gets washed away, then that idea kind of gets washed away with it. I mean, the idea of the proposal doesn't, but the writing in the sand does, so, and the wind and stuff like that. And because we live an hour away from the ocean, that was my first idea, but because of the wind and the washing away, I don't know that would work.
I like the idea of doing, like, a romantic treasure hunt, like, of all the different places that you like to go and, like, writing letters leading up to different, or just, like, making her an album of all these different things that you've done, memories, pictures, and at the end you have, like, the ring or something, or you build up your whole relationship of just memorable moments you've had together.
I strongly suggest getting a friend to help, like maybe
someone who knows you guys really well. Thanks,
sand
Rick.
Sand will wash away. Rocks won't, but... A friend could watch the rocks and make sure they stay there.
Yep. Okay, thanks, Rick. Good luck. Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com, if you'd like. I think it's time to go. It's so sad. Parting is sweet sorrow here.
It's been fun with
Thanks for joining us tonight, Sex with Emily. Thank you so much, Marcelina, your superstar, standing in, producer here. And thank you to Menace for his help earlier in the week. Thank you to VJ so much. It's great to have you as a call screener. And thank you to Alex Wellen. He is the author of Love Sick. You can find his novel on Amazon.com. I'll have it posted on my website, sexwithemily.com. And please connect with me. Find me on Facebook, Emily Morse. It's actually Facebook/EmilyHopeMorse, M-O-R-S-E, or on Twitter, Emily Morse. Or email me. Check out my website, sexwithemily.com. You can check out my blog and subscribe. More information about me and my guests. and myself and my people here, and we got pictures of all of our guests now, don't we, Marcelina?
Yep, I've been putting them up, adding them as they come into the studio.
We got exciting stuff happening at sexwithemily.com. So thanks for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Check out my new vibrator store at sexwithemilyovo.com to check out vibes as low as $15 from the Germany company OVO. That's O-V-O. These sleek, well-designed, and inexpensive vibes make great gifts for yourself and others. Go to sexwithemilyovo.com to get one tonight.